What is up, you guys? Welcome to the Diva Deets, the ultimate podcast for women over 40 who are ready to take control of their health, ditch the diets, and lose weight for good. Today is a special Valentine's Day episode, and let's just be truthful right off the bat, Dave. This is my husband, Dave.
Hi.
I've got a very, very, very special guest here. And did we or did we not just record an hour of a podcast that the mic was muted?
Oh, I don't know what you're talking
about. Did we? Yes. We did.
Absolutely.
So this is take two. We're going to do better this time, I feel like. We had a great time though, right? Y'all missed it. There's a lot of video footage of me going, ha, 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 right?
Yes.
So funny. So anyways, you're a trooper. You're hanging out with me a little bit longer today, and I really appreciate that. So we're going to...
My favorite person to hang out with.
Well, yeah, same. Ditto. Love it.
We should do this thing because it's Valentine's
Day. I don't know how to do it. Got a bit there. So anyways,
happy Valentine, by the way.
Happy Valentine. Of course the dog's gonna bark because the podcast is running. If you don't know, David and I have had quite a journey together. We've known each other for 33 years. We've been married for 6, and you know, real talk, this is a third marriage for both of us, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Last year we even separated, and we're going to talk about that today quite a bit, but, we're here stronger than ever, right?
Very much. Yeah.
What I wanted to do was just talk about, getting real. I want to talk about getting real and raw in relationships, because they very much correlate or mimic or parallel weight loss journeys.
Oh yeah.
And, the relationships that fail, the weight loss journeys that fail, the relationships that make it, the weight loss journeys that make it, there's a lot of similarities.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And so we're going to talk about resilience and just pretty much how love and weight loss have way more in common than anybody would think. And so let's just start with the elephant in the room.
We have cats in the room.
Yeah, there is a cat actually leaning right up against you guys right here. He's obsessed with me podcasting. And that is, you know, we did separate last year. Yeah, we separated. April 11th was the day that it happened. It was definitely an awful day. And, you know, are you good if I talk a little bit about what you were struggling with? Or
yeah, sure.
Okay, you sure? So it came in a very traumatic way to my attention that David ultimately was struggling with a pornography addiction that had gotten pretty much out of control, would you say?
Very much.
Yeah, I got very much out of control. It's like any other dopamine addiction where you're looking for a bigger and bigger hit. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
I immediately, my daughter packed up all your things. We threw you out that day, didn't we? My world came crumbling down, and I didn't talk to you for a long time.
It was a minute.
And I remember calling you at work to ask you a question, and all I could get out of my mouth was like a crying, why did you do this? Do you remember that?
I do.
And do you remember what you said to me? You said, I wish you would talk to me outside of work so that we can actually talk. And I remember just kind of, I think I just hung up the phone. I don't remember. I know I didn't finish talking to you that day. It was just, I was so heartbroken. It was a tough, tough time, but,
We're better.
Yeah, but it wasn't instantaneous. No. It wasn't instantaneous. And I mean, yeah, I would say we're definitely better. If I was to tell somebody that we're better, we got our hands on as many resources as we could. And
I joined a group.
You joined a group that was specifically for sex addiction with men, pornography addiction with men. And no, that sounded wrong.
Yes, that sounded way wrong.
It's a men's group.
Pornographic addiction.
Where they all have porn addiction issues, and they come together and just basically learn how to be better men, right?
Yeah. And it's faith-based, too.
It's faith-based. Yeah, that does really help. I think that helps a lot. And that's, you rarely miss, too. That's just something that became part of your world.
Yeah.
I think that people think that relationships and weight loss should be easy, but
remind themselves,
right? it, like if it's meant to be, both will work. I mean, I think people look at weight loss like that all the time. Like if it's meant to be, this will work out. And I think relationships, wouldn't you say that that's probably true?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing about it is,
okay. If someone thinks that it's, that they're lying to themselves. They really,
yeah, absolutely.
You got to put in the work.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think when we separated, I think we even assumed, a lot of people assumed, but we even assumed it was over.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of people shocked that I decided to go back with you. And I can tell that story actually, but we did decide to show up and do the work. So, I mean, if you were to tell somebody like this mirrors a weight loss journey, how would you tell somebody that mirrors a weight loss journey?
I mean, you got to show up.
Okay.
You can't quit. It's not a one and done thing. It's an always working thing.
Okay.
If you think going to the gym and just lifting weights one day and the next day you're going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, that's not going to happen.
Right.
You got to keep at it.
And it's not instantaneous, but it's also not going to happen like fast.
No, it's a long uphill climb.
It is.
And once you get to the top of that hill, the view's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And there's always going to be, you know, somewhere you want to go from the top of the hill, right? There's Absolutely. Always going to be a direction to go. I like that a lot. So weight loss is pretty much the same. You don't quit just because you have one bad meal. You don't quit just because you gained 2 pounds. You don't quit because you missed a workout. You don't quit because you had a bad week. Because it's about showing up even when it's messy, mm-hmm. just like it is with relationships.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's like, you know, for us, setbacks have been not really... I think we had so many setbacks before that by the time we just really didn't know how unhealthy our marriage was. So setbacks were definitely happening. We were both struggling and I was working so hard in my business that I just couldn't, I did not want to take my foot off the gas. We had a big European trip planned. I kicked you out of that. You did not get to go to Europe with us.
We got to do Europe round two.
Yeah. No kids this time. No kids. Right. But in marriage and weight loss and in life, things are not going to go as planned. They're just not going to because stuff happens. You know, yeah. The shit hits the fan and you have to figure out how to adapt. So the key to consistency in all things is adaptation. And I think that our marriage issues and working through that and being able to repair that, that has been the biggest thing that has taught me, but that correlates to weight loss all the time. And so I tell my listeners that all the time. Did you know that? Mm. And that is that if you figure out how to adapt, you can figure out how to be consistent because you do. I mean, you're going to wake up, the kids are going to be puking. You're going to wake up, the dog is going to have pooped in the floor and you step in it first thing. You have to like clean up the poop. You have to adapt. And then so if you start your workout later, you show up late for your workout, you still showed up, right?
Well, you know, I grew up a military brat. And one of the things I've always said is adapt, overcome, and improvise.
Yeah. Adapt, overcome, and improvise. And that's true for marriage. And it's true for weight loss because what matters is what you do next.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's not. Yeah. You can't just like sit down and suck your thumb in the corner. That's not going to serve.
I mean, you could. Yeah. You look awful funny doing that.
It's not going to serve anybody, though. It's not going to move you forward. What is one lesson that you and I learned from separating and getting back together, specifically that women, because I serve women over 40, you know, that want to lose weight. They want to do it sustainably and they don't want to ditch diet or they don't want to follow a diet. We're ditching our diets. We're getting rid of all that. So what is one thing that we learned from separating and getting back together that women can apply to their weight loss journey?
To show up.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I can't remember everything we said an hour ago because we said a lot of stuff.
Right. But the message is still true.
Yeah. But what I guess what I would say is just show up and do the work.
Okay.
Regardless of how tired you are,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
so what, you had a bad day.
Right.
When you have a bad day, one thing makes you feel good is when you go out for a walk or, mm-hmm. go, you know, when you hit the treadmill or whatever.
Clear the air. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you and I walk a lot.
Yeah, we did a 75 hard.
We did. In fact, when this all started, I had decided to do a 75 hard, which if you don't know what a 75 hard is, you are 75 days without a break, and you are working out twice a day, two 45-minute workouts. One has to be outside,
yep,
regardless of the weather. And I had already made the decision to do that. And then
and
what
we were doing
you,
it in the summertime, so that was...
We did do it in the summertime. So, nice. But what you decided to jump on board with it.
Yeah.
Now, listen, we were barely speaking.
Very barely.
Yeah. And you decided to do it with me, do the 75 hard with me. And that became actually...
a bonding.
It did, because what we did for the outside workout, the outdoor workout, because one of the things that women have to be careful of is overtraining, mm-hmm, over 40, not because you'll get injured, but because you'll push too much cortisol into your system and you will cause belly fat to store. Okay. And so that was something where my coach and he agreed for me to do the 75 hard, which by the way, if you don't know this, I have a coach. His name is Terrence Pennington. But we agreed to do the 75 hard. And he said that was fine as long as my outdoor workout was a walk. So something that would take me down. So we walked together every day.
Almost 2 miles a day, wasn't it?
Every day.
There was a time where we were 75 days. We actually, you had bought paddle boards.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of our...
Oh, that's right. We did do outdoor workouts on the paddleboard.
That was part
last
of our
year.
Workout. We did 45. We did longer than 45 minutes. On
yeah,
paddle
we
board,
did. Paddleboarding's super fun.
That was a trip.
That was when we were talking a little bit more though. Yeah. So right at the beginning, we were just walking.
Yep.
And to this day, walking outside together is one of our absolute favorite times of the day, because
it gives us a chance to open up to each
other. It does, and it gives us a chance to connect. And you know, you're working and I'm working, and so we don't really talk that much during the day, or we don't get a chance to really talk. We do talk,
right,
but not much. And I know it's cold in here. We for sure just bonded. And I think that made a big difference in our coming back together. I actually wanted to write a book called 75 Hard Saved My Marriage.
I think you should.
I may do that one of these days. But the other part of the 75 Hard is you're reading 10 pages in a self-help book.
Yep.
You are drinking a gallon of water. You are not drinking any alcohol.
Nope.
And so both of us had really clear heads. You have to eat 100% on a clean eating meal plan.
Yep.
And there may be more to that. I may be forgetting something, but that was the gist of it, right? And so
pictures.
You had to take pictures every single day. You have to take pictures of yourself. So I did bikini photos every day. Dave chose not to wear the bikini, but he did take photos every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was something we did. And initially, he was taking the photos like hidden somewhere because we weren't really talking. Mm-hmm. We weren't. And so by the end of it, we were taking each other's photos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and helping each other out that way. But it was just, it was one of those things that helped us. But what I think probably don't give up, that was one of the things that the 75 hard really taught, because it was like no matter how tired you were getting that second workout in.
Yeah.
No matter. And I mean, how many steps do you walk at work a day?
I was, at that time, I was averaging about between 15 and 18,000.
Right, per day, and still coming home and doing a 2-mile walk with me outside.
Yep.
And so you just have to take, instead of giving up, you just have to take small actions that make a big impact. And so doing something of 75 days that created those small actions adding up massively changed our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And our relationship.
I think too. And one thing that we knew about that 75 hard was if we floundered one day, we had to start all over. And
right.
There was no
that's
way.
That's the hard part with the 75 hard is that,
no
if, you,
we
if,
that.
If you get sick, you're screwed. You have to start from day one. And we just didn't want to do that.
No.
We pushed through.
It was hard. It was
mentally,
nothing.
It was really hard. But at the same time, by the time you got to, I think by the time we got to like day 50, I was golden.
Yeah.
Everything was so ingrained at that point that we just did it.
Do you remember what we said, what we were going to do once we graduated the 75 days?
Uh-uh.
You said, or you didn't say, I'm sorry. We said we wanted to go and have a big meal.
Yeah.
We wanted to go someplace and have a greasy burger or greasy French fries, but you know, we didn't.
I don't think we did.
We didn't.
I don't think we ever did that. Yeah, I don't think we ever did, because we had a bunch of other stuff happen after the 75 hard, and I ended up having to get a hysterectomy, not because of the 75
no,
hard.
But I think we learned something, as we wanted to have that greasy burger and them greasy fries and whatever, but we didn't.
Yeah, we just
we didn't need
to. And
And we had taught ourselves over that 75
days. And we
days.
Loved feeling good. I think that that was a big part of it, was we loved feeling well.
Yeah.
It was really nice to not have to do two workouts a day when we finished, though. I'm not going to lie. We still like getting our walk in, but we can make it a 20-minute walk or a 30-minute.
You noticed a lot of change in me, not just emotionally, but physically, too. I was sleeping better. I mean, I even noticed that myself. I was sleeping better.
Right.
Because I had lost. I have teetered around 2:30 for the last 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And for me, 2:30 was a nice, I mean, I didn't feel bad.
I don't think you realized how bad you felt until you
until I lost
weight. Yeah.
And I got down to almost 200 single digits, but I think at the lowest I got was like 213, 212, something like that. And at that way,
and you looked like a completely different person.
I felt like a completely different person. I truly felt well.
Tons of energy, go, go, go all the time.
Yeah.
No snoring, sleeping well, feeling rested. In fact, he would sit by me. He used to sit by me. He started doing it again because we both have put on a little bit of weight post hysterectomy, him taking care of me. We're starting another 75 hard on Monday.
Yeah.
And that's what we had already made an agreement to do once I had clearance to do that. So, you learn from mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You learn from mistakes and you adjust. So instead of giving up, you're just doing these small actions so that we have that big impact. And I think that was a big thing. in love and in weight loss, the only way that you truly fail is what? You just
by giving up. By quit.
Yeah, you quit. So one of the biggest things that helped us get back together is that we both, and the 75 hard was a big part of this because, there were days that you weren't able to walk with me because of your work schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And my work schedule, they were not meshing.
And I would still do my 45-minute walk.
And so did I.
Yeah.
Because we both realized that we both had to do the work individually before we could actually show up together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the marriage conference that we went to? Not this year because we were at a dance competition this year, but the one that we went to last year.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. Do you remember that it was talking about a covenant or a contractual relationship?
Yeah, we agreed that we had a contractual.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, oh, well, that's not a good thing.
Well, it's not even that. I don't want to put it like that because they weren't being judgy.
No,
it was like, what's the difference between a covenant and a contractual relationship? But I do remember being irritated when we went up there and I was like, listen, we like our contract because it's like, if you do this, you done stepped in it and you gone. And as a third marriage and both of us hurt,
mm-hmm.
that was pretty much how we functioned.
Yeah.
This, separation and get back together pushed us into a covenant with, and I don't think that either one of us realized it. And I think the 75 hard helped pull that together for us. And that was that we're in it no matter what.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of it. And so with a weight loss relationship, with yourself, you have to be willing to have a covenant relationship. So a covenant relationship is like we're finding alignment. And if we come out of alignment, we're figuring out how to get back in alignment.
Absolutely.
Because it's a no matter what. We're not quitting. We're not giving up. We're figuring it out.
We're too old for this shit.
That's pretty much the name of the game. And that's true for weight loss. We're too old for this shit. We don't need to keep trying to lose weight over and over and over.
Right.
So you have to make this covenant relationship with yourself so that you can for sure finish what you started so that you can see it through. And so you have that, I'm not giving up. It's not going to be a contractual relationship. And that's why we don't do these strict diets. That's why we don't do that. Because when you throw all these rules on it, you're just setting yourself up to fail. Because it's like, if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're gone. It's done. You failed. And that's why something like, very restrictive, like a keto diet or something like that, that's always going to fail you ultimately because it's not sustainable for life. And so you want to be doing something that's sustainable for life so that you can have and keep a covenantal relationship with yourself, because ultimately learning how to do things individually and take care of yourself is something that helps us show up for each other. Right. And so you start by loving yourself enough to take care of you. That means it's not for your spouse. It's not because you're going to go to the beach in a bikini. Dave loves wearing his bikini. It's for you. Right. And so what's something that you've noticed about me of how I show up for myself. sorry, I'm trying to get him on this side of the, he's coming on this side of the screen and I'm trying to keep the sound continuity there. You can put your face this way a little bit that you're in the camera. But what is one way that I show up for myself is where I was going compared to like before, how do I show up better for myself now?
You don't care. I mean, and I'll say that in a genuine way that you're going to be there.
Okay.
You don't care if you're not feeling well. You don't care if you're tired.
So instead I don't care, like I just always show up.
I gotta get it done.
Yeah. Gotta get it done. Okay.
Yeah. I a bad hair day. I got a broken nail. Whatever. I gotta get it done. I gotta get my walk in. I gotta get my weight in. I gotta get my food in. I gotta get my water in. I got basically. To quote a famous little green fella, do or do not. There is no try.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know who that is, it's Yoda.
Yes, Yoda. Mm-hmm.
But that's just been your mentality. You know, yeah. I got to get it done. Mm-hmm. It's 10 o'clock at night. I didn't get my second workout in. Dave, would you like to do
one? How many times have I dragged you into a workout at 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because especially during the 75 hard, it was like,
We
didn't get it in. We have to get it in.
Or it was raining.
Why?
Or,
because that was a covenant relationship. It was a covenant commitment that we had with that. And that was something I think that taught us what it meant to have a covenant relationship, which sounds so crazy because, of course, the marriage retreat was at church. And something I think that Christianese can get churchy in that there's so many things thrown out there and phrases thrown out there. But I think what God is trying to teach us pulls away from Christianese and is its very own little special gift. And for us, that just happened to appear and come through our 75 hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So would you say that it is important to prioritize self-care?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you don't care about yourself, then ultimately your spouse isn't going to care about you. Because, I mean, if you don't care about you, then why should I?
And then also your spouse is probably going to be less likely to care about themselves as well.
Yeah.
And so it creates this, and kind of that's what had been happening to us. Even though I was on a great health journey, you were not.
No, I was not on
it. You were not. And you were not even caring about it. And that was one thing that for sure we were out of alignment on, because, you know, that was one thing that was really bothering me as a health coach. I don't need you to look perfect, but I need you to be on the journey.
Yeah. I remember I would make the joke. You would say you wanted me to be in shape, and I would make the joke, well, round is a shape.
Right. And that was kind of, and that eventually for me that graded because fitness and health are my career.
Yeah.
And this is my business and this is what I do. And I don't walk around with a perfect body. He thinks it's perfect, but that's but I don't walk around with a perfect body, but I walk around with a perfect mentality that is focused on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And when I say perfect mentality, I don't mean it's perfect all the time, but that is where my foundation stems from, my mentality. And he was not aligned with that. And I didn't realize, I don't think, like, looking back, this is actually kind of therapeutic, wouldn't you say? Looking back, I'm realizing that was a big part of why we veered off, was because my business was so important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you, honestly, it felt like you were coming against me and fighting me on it, tooth and nail. And it was exhausting for me. And so by the time we separated, I think I was already at the point where I was so over everything that it felt good to get a break mentally from trying to fight with you with my business, mm-hmm. right? And I know that wasn't what you were trying to do, but at the same time, you weren't on board. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because
I would want my chips and my cakes and my sodas and
your fried food.
That wasn't beneficial for you, not you personally, but that wasn't beneficial.
Yeah.
For
and business. I mean, up until this, you had not worked out with me. Mm. You hadn't participated really in anything. You were doing yoga before we got married, and that's how you proposed to me, which was a really great story, but we won't share it on this episode. But you weren't doing it because of the yoga itself. You were doing it to hang around me. Yes or no?
Yes or no.
Yes. You know that it was just so. Because as soon as you proposed and I said yes, what happened?
We got married.
Well, you quit going.
Well,
you pretty much quit going almost immediately. So, and I'm not trying to like blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, it's like you have to learn how to prioritize self-care. Are you letting the dog in? Yeah. Okay. And so I just don't want them to think I ran you off right in the middle of that. So now we're looking for the dog. But anyways, we're prioritizing self-care. We're setting boundaries. And that's going to not just benefit you, but that's going to benefit everybody around you. Does that make sense? So that's true for Dave. That's true for your spouse. That's true for the people in your world. And, you know, that's something that I think that you realized during that process. Wouldn't you agree?
Repeat that because I really couldn't hear you while I was.
No, prioritizing having self-care, setting boundaries, and how that benefits not just you, but everybody around you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That was something that.
Because if you can't take care of yourself, then you really can't take care of your loved one.
No, uh-uh. And so when you take care of yourself, you become a better wife. You become a better mom. You become a better friend. I mean, everything. Because self-care is not selfish. It's necessary. And that's true for men as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You become a better husband. You become a better dad. You become a better friend. And so it's not selfish. It's necessary. So it's really time to start prioritizing you. You know, I was wondering, do you want to share with our audience how we met? Or not? Well, that wasn't the first time we met, but it was one of the impactful stories, or no? Do you want to share? Do you want to share the real story, not your version?
The truth or your version?
So my version's the truth.
Well, you keep that in your head. That's the truth. Okay, so I will tell my side of it.
I'll fix it if he messes it up.
And you can tweak it to your preference and liking.
Yeah.
So we met in high school in
1992.
And we worked at Wendy's together.
That's how we met, was working at Wendy's. Because I didn't meet you in school.
No.
I met you at Wendy's.
I don't even think we had any classes together, to be honest.
We did not.
Not even junior or senior year.
Mm-mm.
But I immediately had a huge crush on him.
Oh my gosh, it was awful. He was like a puppy.
And I believe it was our senior year when I did this.
It was.
It slipped in my mind a little bit, but I think I might have done something inappropriate.
So he honked my boob.
Oh, that's what it was. I have delusions of grandeur sometimes, so I will forget things.
Is that what's wrong with you?
That's a lot of what's wrong with me.
Oh, my Lord, help us all.
But I recall somewhat when you know, the vague images that you literally beat me senseless with one of our grill spatulas.
Yep, the burger spatula.
And beat you within an inch of your life. Just.
And I didn't talk to you again.
You did not talk to me for some time.
Yeah, I didn't for years, actually. I didn't talk to you.
When we reconnected over almost 9 years ago.
Well, it wasn't. It was probably right at 9 years ago that we reconnected.
We were sitting upstairs and you said you had something you wanted me to see.
Well, no, that was not.
Well,
how
no,
it was.
No,
no, wait, right, yeah, right. No, no, no. So he asked if there was a yearbook.
If you had any of
your because books. Your ex-wife had burned yours.
My first ex-wife had
in a burn.
They had burned in a barn.
Yeah.
So I had.
So you didn't have. So you said you wanted to see it, and yeah. I told him. I said, "Well, we worked with Mark at work, and Mark and I called each other towel all the time on accident because we'd be like, you know, hey Mark, throw me the towel, but we'd accidentally say like, hey towel, throw me the mark, and I knew exactly where that page was because that stuck out in my mind, and so I wanted to show David, but right, I didn't realize yours was right underneath Mark's,
and so it said a few things, blah blah blah,
right,
and I'm not going to say I was butt hurt because you were getting hitched and whatnot.
Right. Yeah. You were super jealous. So I was pregnant and getting married. And and Leah's 30 and I get to have a grandbaby next month, but that's neither here nor there. But
and at the very end of it, I had wrote P.S. Sorry about your boob. And with all seriousness
like,
in my face.
Validation. Vindication.
With all seriousness in my face, I said, I didn't like that.
Yeah. He
that,
really. Yeah.
That
he
wasn't
really.
Me.
Like you can't deny
and
it, buddy boy.
Like, what? No, yes, you did. No, I
yeah. So I didn't write denial that. Still there.
Yeah, it's a river.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I'm being completely transparent, I'm kind of glad I did that.
Grab my boob or got beat to death.
I mean, it's a story that we can essentially tell Ezra when he gets around. I mean, hey, don't do this when you go to work, but you know, hey, this is not being your granny man. You know. But it's something that has, even through our 30 years of knowing each other, it has been our constant.
It has. And I think what's funny about it is like,
and a side note, real quick, side note, one of the things that we absolutely love Wendy hamburgers.
Still to this day.
Yeah.
And having worked there, that tells you something about the quality.
I mean,
it's a pretty good fast food restaurant quality wise.
It's our constant. And I think it'll always be that, as degrading as it was.
For who? The girl getting honked or the one getting beat to death?
I mean, sure, whatever, right? But it's...
We could probably sue each other nowadays.
Sue Wendy's.
Sue me for getting beat, and no, I could sue Wendy's. You for honking. Well, we wouldn't do that. But anyways.
Dave Thomas is dead. But no, it's been our constant, and it's something that we can look back on, have a laugh about it, and say, you know, that's brought us.
It did, actually. I mean, we didn't talk for years and years, but at the same time, I've told you this many times, but
I got picked on a lot.
He did get picked on a lot. And I don't know how many times behind his back I stood up for him and, you know, stared down some mean people. But I never told him that because you were a puppy dog. And I at that age, I was like so emo and I didn't even like to spend time with myself, let alone other people. And so I have a lot of fun with myself now. So I have a lot of fun with you. But anyway, it's built this great friendship for us. And so there's just like this connection that is special.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I wanted to share that with my viewers so that they know, you know, where I'm coming from. And then I also, you know, to know that if you're going through a hard time or you're having trouble with your marriage, like anything is recoverable.
Absolutely, yeah.
But that's true for your weight loss journey, too. No matter where you are, how many times you've fallen off on your weight loss journey, there's a place to go. There's a way to recover from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Dory said it best.
Just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming, man.
Just keep swimming.
You fall off the diet wagon.
Right.
Get back on it.
What would you say to men that are struggling with pornography addiction? Since you can be open and honest about that, let me say this. Prior to discovering the pornography addiction, I had no idea. I never saw him looking at it. I never saw it on his phone. And how long have you struggled with pornography addiction? Since you were young. Yeah, since you were a kid. And I had, as his wife, had no idea. That wasn't something you were forefront with me. Tell them why, though.
Embarrassed, maybe.
Yeah, but you also knew that in my past, what?
That was a no-go.
Right? That was one of our contractual things. Not the pornography addiction, but it was like, you know, the lying part of it, right? Yeah. And so that was a no-go. And then... I think you were afraid because both of my ex-husbands also dealt with really horrible
addiction
issues. And so,
and I didn't want to lose you.
I think it was fear-based. A lot of it was fear-based.
So hard to snatch you up.
Yeah.
I
didn't want to lose
risk it. Yeah.
Right.
Risk
so, so you definitely go to every week on Monday night, and honestly, if you don't mind me saying the location, because so you go to Celebrate Recovery,
yep.
And that's where you have a group that you meet with men, and it's on Monday nights at 7 o'clock. Is that right?
Yeah.
And it's at Faith Promise, the location that's on Pellissippi Parkway.
Absolutely.
And
it's a men. It's called Men's Integration.
Yeah. Integrity.
Men's integrity. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's.
I was like, where are you going with
not
that?
Not interrogation.
We waterboard our people there, right. And then.
Yeah, absolutely. You're gonna quit. But no, it's a men's integrity group,
right?
And not only are they married men there that have had the same, there's also single guys that come, you know, and
come there.
It's eye-opening, maybe it's not the word I'm looking for, but it's definitely healing for me.
It's been, I think it's been one of the best things you've ever done, because like you, like we said, we need to grow each other individually, you know, grow individually. I'm totally separate. I don't ever go to that. That's all you. Mm-hmm. You are growing yourself as a man and becoming a better man. Mm-hmm. I will tell you a resource that really, really helped me personally. And that is a podcast. And honestly, he has a lot of programs for men in general, and he's a great guy. And David has actually had conversations with him personally. Dr. Sam. His name is Sam Tilleman. His last name is spelled T-I-E-L-E-M-A-N-S. And he is a licensed therapist that helps specifically with porn addiction, men coming through that, and then couples that are recovering through that.
Yeah.
If you're local to Knoxville, Tennessee, and you want to meet Dave, he's redheaded, as you can tell if you're watching my YouTube. You can't miss him. And so I'm sure he would meet you at the Celebrate Recovery if you just need a buddy to meet there. But also, you can reach out on any of my socials. You've got me on Instagram and TikTok as Donya Powers EC, and on Facebook as Donya Powers. You are welcome to reach out to me at any time and just ask any questions. I found, for me, I did not enjoy the women's podcasts that were out there that were spouses recovering from addicted husbands.
Did you even have a therapist say that it was okay?
So I did. I fired that therapist. I was going through therapy because, you know, this pretty much broke me. And I had staple people in my life. Amanda and Wendy were phenomenal. They own a dance studio that I was partnershiped with at that time, and had as part of my business. I was renting space in their facility, and they were amazing and supportive. I remember even like I went to a dance competition right after it happened. It was literally like right after it happened, and I could not be, I was such a mess. I was crying every 2 seconds. And I remember walking in the door. We were late because Amarian forgot his ballet shoes, really collapsed in Amanda's arms, and she just held on to me. And it was just, I was so broken. This just really broke me. And it was, you know, we're not telling how it happened and all the different stuff, because it's a lot of private information, but it was pretty rough. The trauma, and it definitely, it compromised my business. It compromised my job. It didn't, you know, where he had gotten to his level of pornography addiction. He was not seeing me at all, and how any of the consequences could affect me. And it was bad. And so Sam Tilleman, his podcast is called Couples Healing from Pornography Addiction. And I like his because I have a tendency to tap in more easily to my masculine energy than my feminine. Now I am working on tapping into my feminine energy because there's a lot of power in that, and I'm getting better and better every day there. But I felt he saw me. And he heard me. And so I do follow him, and just a big shout. I can't say enough good things about him. I wish I had met him. I never did have a chance to meet him. He's helped me a ton, and his podcast episodes to this day, I go and listen to them because they do help. When I was in the throes of being in physical and mental pain, his podcast helped me more than anything else that was out there. And so I have great things to say about it, but there's a lot of really good podcasts out there. And I'm not saying the girl ones are bad, because you may not relate to his. You may listen to his and be like, I need a girl. I didn't. I needed to hear a man's perspective. I needed to hear a man say why I was feeling the way I was. And that was where his podcast really helped me a lot. Yeah. And so, like I said, to this day, I will turn his podcast on. It's not as much as I used to, but when I was really angry, because anger, I was very angry with you for a long time. When I was really angry, that was what I turned to for help and healing and support. I was not really finding it in my church community. Not that they were bad, but sometimes
it's not just what you
do. Sometimes it's just a lot easier to go out of your network to get the support that you need. And I say that my small group was amazing. Lisa and Robin were amazing. I did have friends show up with a shovel and say, you know, where are we burying this son of a bitch and all this different stuff. I had a lot of support. And like I said, with Amanda and Wendy, I honestly can't say enough good things. They were tremendous as I recovered from the pain of this. But as we, as I'm so glad this happened to us. I think it's the best thing that ever happened to us, which I did not ever think I would say that. I never thought I would ever say that because I thought this ruined me. And in fact, we were just talking today. There's some damage I can't seem to undo. Like trusting myself is something I'm still working through. Wouldn't you say so? Mm. It's hard for me to make decisions sometimes. I'm getting better and better about it, but it made me like, I felt like, wow, if I'm this dumb, and I didn't even know anything was wrong, you know, didn't know anything on his phone, et cetera, et cetera. But, I just felt like if I was this dumb, am I even capable of making decisions? So I really struggled with that for a little while. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the reason that I'm pulling this back in is to this conversation is because when you have any kind of addiction that overtakes your life, it is something that you can work on, and it is something that you can be helped with. And so, and there are therapists out there for any kind of addiction, but like the clients that I work with are dealing with food addiction.
Yeah.
They're hiding to eat. They're hiding in their cars to eat. They're hiding in their bedrooms to eat. And
would you even say some might even be hiding in plain sight?
Yeah, I would say so. The thing about it is you can't hide obesity. You're wearing your pain on the outside of your body.
Yeah.
You're walking around showing the world your addiction.
Yep.
So in a way you can't hide, you know, because you can't hide from obesity.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I think it is definitely, there's a lot of similarities. You are going to have to admit it.
Yeah.
Or you're going to have a traumatic event happen and expose it in a crazy way that's going to be rough for you, but at the same time, it'll be a big Band-Aid rip. There's a lot of free resources out there. There was a book that really helped me that my coach was 300 pounds and he lost over 100 pounds. He's 6'8", so he carries his weight really well, but he lost 100 pounds. I think he was almost 400 pounds, to be honest with you, when he was his biggest. And he was really helped by a book called The Easy Way to Overcome Emotional Eating by Alan Carr. And I cannot say enough good things about that book. That book really helped me to have a really good understanding of what had happened to me. So I had menopausal weight gain and I couldn't control it. And there was a point of time, where, I just was like, F it, nothing's working, because everything that I had done to lose weight no longer worked. It stopped working. Nothing worked. Nothing worked that I was doing. And I mean, I was a group fitness instructor. I was a coach. I was supposed to be the fittest person in the room. And I was now become the fattest in some situations. It was only a 50-pound gain for me, but we were in the front of a room all the time, you know, coaching 20, 30, 40 women into sexy dancing or whatever it was that I was doing, spin classes, yoga, all this different stuff. And here I was the chunkiest. In fact, at work, I was called the fat trainer or the fat ass trainer. That's how devastating it was for me. So it was very humbling, and that turned me to food. And so I started really struggling with food addiction, and food addiction runs in my family. And so it's just really one of those things that I started turning into. And thankfully,
well, before you go back up 30 plus years, you told me once that at Wendy's you would founder, you'd gorge yourself. You would eat so much, and then you struggled with what was it, a bulimicy?
Anorexia.
Anorexia. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't eat much. I ate a cookie.
Yeah.
Every day. That's a different story for a different time. Sorry. But I love you for bringing that up. But anyways, let's say disordered eating has been part of my world. I don't remember what I was saying.
No, sorry.
It's okay. Do you remember what I was saying? So the fun part is he likes to derail me, and he does this often. But he, sometimes he can remember where I was going and sometimes he can't, but regardless, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that food addiction is something that you can absolutely overcome. I was just trying to tell you my story and how I got where I got. And so, you know, just because I don't weigh 300 or 400 pounds does not mean that I don't understand, you know, the level that addiction can take you and where you hide. For me, alcohol is a gateway to food. I have to be really careful. So you kind of have to know your gateways to what, you know, for same for you for pornography, right?
Yeah.
For me, alcohol is a gateway to food. I'm not necessarily going to get drunk, but I'm sure as heck not going to care what I'm putting in my mouth. You know, it's just one of those things. And for David, I don't know what your gateway is. I don't know that we've ever talked about that, but it's, you know, we try to be really careful. Even, and I've always been very protective, tried to protect your eye gate mm-hmm. when it comes to like, because I raise men. I have raised one daughter, but all the rest of my little dudes are men. And so I've always been very careful about television. And so anytime something nude would pop up on television, which is like anything anymore, there's nudity. I'd be like, I'm so sorry. And hit fast forward. And what would you say? You'd be like, it's not a big deal to me.
And I never thought it would.
Yeah, and that didn't really think it was. So, and that was something. And, you know, we're not putting, listen, if porn is your thing, I'm not trying to be negative against you. Yeah, not at all. For us, it was a devastating thing for our relationship. It was literally just a devastating thing for our relationship, wouldn't you say?
A non-negotiable. It was a non-negotiable.
What was?
Pornography. It was something that we did not want.
Oh, I see what you're saying. And that was a weird answer to that. I was like, where is he going with that?
It was something that I hid and you did not want in our relationship. And I hid it. And
yeah.
I hid it for the fact that I didn't want to lose you.
Yeah.
Because it was a non-negotiable.
Well, let me ask you this. Once you started talking about it, and it became, I'm so sorry. Our grandkitty has gone crazy. Once you started talking about it and it became a transparency in our world, did that change? Did that help you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for food addiction, it's the same thing. So if you can find yourself the ability to admit, hey, I have a problem with an addiction to food. And that's going to be the first step, right? It's the same with any kind of addiction, any kind of like pornography addiction or anything like that. That's going to be your first step, is admitting it. And then going from there. But for us, it wasn't a judgment, but it was devastating our relationship. It had massively, without my knowledge, I didn't know what was going on, but it had massively impacted our sexual life. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Because we basically didn't have a sexual life at all. And I didn't know why, or I felt fat and ugly, all this different stuff. And so he was kind of walking through his emotions and what he was walking through. But, that was, it's no different with, food addiction. You know, most of the women that come into my program, a lot of them don't have a scale because they've convinced themselves that that's not important. And the scale is not the end all be all. You can watch my content and know that I do not live and die by the scale, because F the scale, right? But understanding where you're at is really important. You cannot drive wherever you want with no GPS or a map, right? You're going to get lost at some point. So, what would you say, what is your one piece of advice that you would give women on a weight loss journey?
Find a good coach.
Okay.
Don't let somebody else tell you, well, hold on. Yes. Let somebody else tell you. Don't let society say, oh, well, you're this or you're that. If you're 300 pounds and you think you're a rock star, then be that rock star. Mm-hmm. But be comfortable. Be fluid in your body. Mm-hmm. Feel well. Yeah,
feel
absolutely.
Strong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I know you said you had a coach that she was a quite large coach, mm-hmm. and she lost a considerable amount,
500 or 600 pounds. Yeah.
And she's a rock star.
She's rock star coach, rock star. Amazing.
And
at everything.
Then there's people out there that might weigh 110 and they feel like crap because mm-hmm.
They're not eating to live. They're living to eat.
Yeah.
Or they are, not eating.
They're walking skeletons.
Yeah, they are. That true. That too. It's unhealthy.
It very much. And
but if you were okay, so I get find a coach. If you were to tell somebody, let's say somebody said, like, what would you say to help me besides find a coach? Because obviously that's an easy go-to for us because I'm a coach, right? But if you were to give somebody advice, like they just nothing seems to be working, what would you tell them to do? And this is true for pornography addiction too, or any kind of addiction, or marriage issue.
Truly, find a group. There's help in numbers.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I do have a free Facebook group.
Absolutely. And if you're having issues with whether it's porn addiction or food addiction or alcohol addiction or drug addiction or whatever, there's resources out there that will help you. And, you know, I think what's even better is if you talk to someone, they say, oh, well, I had that same problem. This is what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm. You're struggling with this. Well, this is what I did.
Right.
I struggled with that. I struggled with this.
What do you think was the biggest thing that helped us in our relationship? What this caused an immediate stop. And so I feel like we had to slow down.
Slow down to speed up.
Mm-hmm. To speed up. Because like if you're going for your weight loss journey, if you're going 900 miles an hour the wrong direction, you should be going this way on the interstate, or you should be going this way on the interstate and you're going this way. What do you have to do? You have to get off the exit, slow down, find a turnaround, because you cannot turn. You can't do a U-turn going 75. You'll either die or you'll get arrested, right? Or kill somebody. And so you have to get off the interstate. You have to turn around and then you get back on the interstate. And eventually you can speed back up. But you are slowing down.
Yeah.
Completely changing your direction so that you can change your trajectory. And that's true for a weight loss journey. So you're going to have to slow down, slow your roll. You know, you clearly are going the wrong direction. So you need to stop and pull back. Let's say you're on a keto diet. Well, that keto diet is not sustainable for life. It's just not. It's just not. You're not going to be able to do that.
Eat right.
It doesn't. And it's not going to, especially women over 40 that are dealing with menopausal weight gain, it is not going to serve you long term. So you have to find something that's going to serve you long term and be something that you can continually do sustainably for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And that part of that is coming off the keto, coming off whatever it is that you're doing that's not working for you. Or if you are constantly like, I just can't wait till I get done with this so I can have a cookie, unless it's some kind of a fasting program or something, you know, you need to get off that program because you should be able to eat a cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a ton of them.
Not all the time, but you've got to know that you can't be like restricting yourself forever. I mean, it just
can't. Food's made to be enjoyed.
It is. It's made to be enjoyed. And you need to be eating all of your nutrient dense food to support and fuel your system. But having an occasional cookie shouldn't be something that's so devastating to your plan that it completely throws you off or throws you off track. So you have to find or crashes you because you are doing a quick 75 spin around, right? So you have to be able to get off the interstate, change directions so that you can change your trajectory and you can lose weight for life and just heading in the right direction. But that's always going to take a slowdown to speed up. That's a success principle that we learned a long time ago with business. It's really great to apply to marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really great to apply to any kind of an addiction issue. Yeah. And it's really great to apply to weight loss journey.
Yeah,
for real. So I think that this was really awesome. And I appreciate you. Thanks. Everything is awesome. So I love that song. But I want to say if there's anything that I want ladies to take away from this, it is that whether it's love or whether it's weight loss or just life in general, success always comes down to three things. Figuring out how to be adaptable so that you can be consistent, the grace within that, giving yourself grace, giving your spouse grace, and then the willingness to show up no matter what.
Absolutely.
Even when things are hard. And that's
especially when they're hard.
And that's that covenantal relationship, I think, that we're still discovering, because I will be honest with you, that's still new to us.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's worthy of noting that we truly were struggling with the concept of what that meant.
I don't want to help you when it's hard. You don't want to help me.
We weren't that way.
No, I'm just saying.
We were not that way. That's not what I'm saying. For us, what the struggle was we genuinely were like, this is a no-go. We're done from that. Instead of saying, what are you struggling with? I mean, even today I asked you, didn't I, like, how are things?
Yeah.
Are things doing okay?
How are you with things?
Yeah. And
you, I respond to that.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know,
yeah, he's,
I'm enjoying my group. My group, allows me to be, not that you don't allow me to be me, but mm-hmm. there's just sometimes I don't think you will get me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm totally okay with that. I think that you have to be okay with the fact that
We're not going to get each other 100% of the time.
No, and I don't need to control that part of your life. I totally believe that God is in control of that part of your life and working with you by working with and through stronger men.
Yeah.
And I feel like men should raise up men and women should raise up women, right? Yeah. So and I lean into the strong ladies in my life.
Yeah.
For support and help. Lisa is my small group leader. She's helped me a ton with guidance, and we've helped each other because, you know, her and her husband have their own struggle going on with different things. And so that she's helped me a ton with resources and how to, you know, just how to be the best version of myself. But she's great at like, but we need to keep you going and keep you here and keep you pushing. You know what I mean? So I have a lot of great women in my life. I have a great coach named Janelle that has really pushed me professionally to the point of it's hard to have somebody see that much in you. And I know that she sees this greatness in me, but when somebody sees greatness in you, it's a push and they are not letting you go backwards. You're okay to slow down, get off the interstate, make a turn to get the right trajectory, but they do not allow you to go backwards. They see your potential and they keep pushing you that direction, no matter how long it takes. And so that's the willingness to show up even when it's hard.
Yeah.
And that part's true for our relationship. And obviously you guys can tell we're not perfect. I don't know how many fights we had today. What? I know. We were like, well, I wouldn't say fights, but like just disagreements today.
High volume, low PV.
Yeah. High volume, low productive discussions for sure. And so,
if I'm being honest, I think sometimes that's healthy.
I think so too. I think that
I hate arguing with you.
And you know what? To be honest, I don't know that we argued that much before this all happened, before the separation. I think there was a lack of communication there somehow.
Yeah, you didn't talk enough.
Maybe.
Maybe I didn't hear enough.
I don't think we were hearing. I don't think we talked enough, either one of us. And we didn't talk the right thing.
I think we tried to talk over each other.
Maybe. I don't know, but I definitely don't remember arguing with you as much as I do now. I'm not afraid to confront you. And
I'm afraid to confront you.
That's not true.
Oh, that's so true.
It's really not. It's really not. No, he's not afraid to do. He's totally lying. I think progress over perfection is always, that's what I always teach my ladies. And that's true in relationship as well as weight loss journey. You're always looking for progress. You're not looking for perfection.
No, absolutely.
Because if it was about perfection, there would never be anybody married ever. No. Right. And then you also are, both of us have discovered the power of a positive mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we were doing the 75 hard and reading our 10 pages every day, we read books that were to help us in ourselves. They were empowering ourselves to make us better in a relationship.
And for ourselves.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like for ourselves, like it was empowering us so that we could be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was totally a lot of really great books that we read. And, you know, our personal experience may or may not help you. If it does, I hope that you let us know because we'd love to hear about it. But listen, you guys are worth it. Ladies, you're worth it. Gentlemen, if you need help, you know, I wanted to pull this in because this is him supporting me is a big piece of why I'm able to do what I do. And to be as successful as I have been able to be at this and continue to grow because, you know, my outreach is still small by comparison to what the potential is. But your health, your happiness and your confidence, matters. It matters so much. So this is what I want you guys to stop. This is what I want you to do. Not just you, you and you and you. Yeah. All of you. I'm looking at my husband lovingly and super flirty. So it is Valentine's Day after all. Right. Nice. Right. So stop.
I kind of want to kiss her, but she's being.
I'm being all pie. Here, I'll kiss you.
Okay.
Stop waiting.
Stop waiting to kiss me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop waiting. Stop making excuses and start taking action now because you control today and now, right? If this resonated with you and you're ready to finally prioritize yourself, listen, you can message me on Instagram, Donya Powers EC, or TikTok, Donya Powers EC. You have my YouTube handle if you're watching me on YouTube right now. It's Empowered Coaching, but you can also find me on Facebook as Donya Powers. And just, you know, message me the word ready. And I'm going to know that that's my cue to start asking you some questions and see if we vibe, right? But regardless of that, I would love to know what you got out of this podcast. Make sure that you subscribe so that you don't miss any podcast. And until next time, stay strong, stay consistent, and stay fabulous, my divas. This is Powers Crew signing out. Love you guys. Thanks for tuning into this latest episode of the Diva Deets. If this helped you and you found it valuable, share it with a friend who needs to hear it. Ready for more support? Join my free Facebook community or join my coaching community. The details are in the show notes. Don't forget to subscribe. And until next time, stay strong, stay consistent, and stay fabulous, my divas.